Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, December 28th, 2014. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, if you're a fan, you can rate and review it on iTunes and Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Tell everybody why you like it. It's tied to my self-esteem. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Talk to me. Talk to me, Goose. Top Gun reference. I will read it, and I'll get back to you. You can also, if you like the show, you can like it on Facebook. You can, what else can you do? You can, what else? You can follow the show on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, Chris Lamberth, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. So I'm recording this episode right now. I'm in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the Palmetto State. It's bordered to the north by North Carolina and to the south and west by Georgia, located across from the Savannah River and east by the Atlantic Ocean. That's where I'm at, according to Wikipedia and according to geography. So that's where I'm at. I'm in South Carolina. I'm in Myrtle Beach doing some shows at the Comedy Cabana. And so far, so good. Done 3 shows already. Having a good time. Mike Burton is the headliner for the first few days while I'm here. And I'm staying right now in the really amazing comedy condo. And I'm by myself because Mike, he has family that lives down here. And he's staying with his family. So I have the condo all to myself. And this has to say, so far in my young, burgeoning career as a stand-up comedian, this is the nicest place I've ever stayed in to be as a performer. It's 2 bedrooms, and it's one's for the headliner, one's for the feature act. And the MC is a local guy, Cooter Douglas. Shout out to Cooter Douglas, who's the house comedian at Comedy Cabana, and it's really nice. It's got TV, cable, and the good homie Paul Verzi, when he was here like a few years back, he bought a DVD player, and so I can watch DVDs. I watched a bunch of movies so far. I rented way too many movies at Redbox yesterday. I rented like 5 movies. What did I rent? I'm gonna travel on over to the television. Let's make this podcast a little mobile. What did I rent? I rented Sex Tape. I have not seen that. I rented the Woody Allen movie, Magic in the Moonlight. I rented A Most Wanted Man, one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movies. I rented Belle with Gugu Mbatha-Raw from Beyond the Lights, an awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's really good. And some people are saying that it's an Oscar-worthy performance. And, you know, I'm not going to disagree with that. I think it's really good. It's definitely a movie that I'm going to buy when it comes out on Blu-ray. And then I just finished watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the highly criticized movie from nerds everywhere. I'm going to say this. I'm going to put it on record. I really enjoyed this movie. I liked it. I don't know what it was. Maybe my expectations weren't so high on it based on everything that I heard about it. And I don't even think I read too much about it either. But I enjoyed this movie. Like, I was doing some shopping, trying not to spend too much money. But I got some groceries, for the condo, and I got like some food and stuff like that. And then I just, I came back before, just trying to chill before the show. I put the movie in. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm laughing. I'm having a good time. The fight scenes were fun. I was emotionally invested when Shredder was fighting Splinter. Shredder actually looked like Megatron. You could tell it was like a Michael Bay joint, even though he didn't direct it. But you can tell he had his hand in it, and all the sounds and shit when Shredder, because that was the only like robot like thing that they could put in the movie for now. So you could hear like the when you had like the blades and shit coming out. And so, I mean, it was fun, man. I really enjoyed it. It was funny. Because when I saw the trailers, it was just like, I don't like how the turtles look. I'm not really a fan of what they look like. I mean, they're mutants and everything, but they're kind of scary, and I just don't know how I'm going to feel about that. And just people on Facebook, when this movie came out, they were just like, oh, it ruined my childhood. It blah, 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 blah. Fuck that, man. It's a good movie. And I was talking to Paul Verzi last night. He called me, hit me up. We were talking. I was like, yeah, man, you know, having fun down here. And he's like, yeah, man, you're welcome for that DVD player. And it's like, thanks, Paul, but then thanks for making me spend way too much. You know, you've rented too many movies when you're at the Redbox and it says your basket is full. Like, you've rented too many. I rented 5. But anyway, we were talking about it. And I think he mentioned it on his show, The Verzi Effect, after he had taken his son to see it. And he was like, I like the movie. And we were talking about it last night. It's just like, it's a fun movie. I will definitely go see the second one. I'll definitely go see it, because I think Bebop and Rocksteady are supposed to be in the next one, which somebody told me. I think the stakes are a lot lower. I've said this before on the show. The stakes are a lot lower when you just go to Redbox and you're paying $1.62, as opposed to you paying anywhere between $12 and $20 to go see a movie. But when you do that, you're like, what the fuck, man? Shit. But I don't ever go to a movie thinking this shit's gonna change my life. It's just fun. It's entertaining, and I love movies. But this movie, it's fine. Jeez, like, people just, I don't know what people were looking for. It's a movie about, it's a made up movie that some dude made out of thin air. He was probably high while he came up with the concept of this thing. And it was, you know, it's a movie. Get over yourselves. You really attack the problem of your childhood from your parents that were kind of probably a little shitty to you, or your uncle, or somebody didn't pick you up from soccer practice. Deal with that, and then leave Michael Bay alone. Leave him alone. One thing, though, it was kind of weird that Raphael, I don't know if he was supposed to be the Black Turtle, but he had like a toothpick. He usually always had a toothpick in his mouth. And I was just like, is that a toothpick? Am I looking at that right? And I know this isn't on Blu-ray, but am I looking at this right? And he's like, got a toothpick, and he's talking kind of weird. Like, I don't know if he was trying to be like urban or Italian. Like, he's trying to be Black or Italian. And then when he got scared, he was like, aah! it was weird. Other than that, the movie was fine. All right, everybody. This is episode 99 of the Mundane Festival, and a couple people asked me what I was going to do when I couldn't name it after an athlete. I don't know what I'm going to do. Am I going to talk? Should I talk about unsung R&B singers somewhere in the episode or at the top of the episode? Should I just say what the episode number is and keep it moving? We'll figure it out. Give me some ideas for segments. Tweet at me. email me, mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Email me. If not, I'll just like randomly, I might randomly, because there's always players that I've missed. So I might go back and I could go back and read somebody's stats. Like I didn't do Randy Moss on episode 84. So I did it after I watched Rand University. I might do something like that. So we'll see. But right now we're going to call this, we're going to call this, since it's the last, number like that of an athlete, like a football, baseball, hockey player could wear. I'm going to double it up like I did with episode 66. I'm going to call this episode Warren Sapp / Wayne Gretzky. So we're going to do this right now. Let's read. Let me read it. Read to you a boot. Warren Sapp. Here we go. Warren Carlos Sapp was born on December 19th, 1972 in Orlando, Florida, standing at 6 feet. 2 inches, weighing in at 300 pounds, went to Apopka High School in Florida, went to the U, Miami University, drafted in the first round, pick number 12 in the NFL draft in 1995, debuted with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and last played for the Oakland Raiders. So from 95 to 03, played with the Bucks, and then 04 to 07 with the Oakland Raiders. Career highlights and awards. 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time AP First Team All-Pro, 2-time Second Team AP All-Pro, Super Bowl Champion, AP NFL Defensive Player of the Year, NFL 1990s All-Decade Team, NFL 2000s All-Decade Team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers number 99 retired, inducted into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Ring of Honor. He won some college football awards. I'm not going to read. He was, so career NFL statistics, 198 games played, 188 started, 573 tackles, 96 and a half quarterback sacks, 19 forced fumbles, 4 interceptions. And he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2013. So there you go. Warren Sapp, Hall of Famer. Tech Mobile legend, ooh, yes he is. So let's do Wayne Gretzky. This might take me some time to get through because I don't do hockey that much, but you got to honor the great, one of the stars of pro stars with Michael Jordan, Bo Jackson, and this guy, Wayne Gretzky. So here we go. Wayne Douglas Gretzky was born on January 26th, 1961 in Brantford, Ontario, Canada, standing at 6 feet, even weighing in at 185 pounds. Position, he played center, shot left-handed, played for in the WHA, the Indianapolis Racers, Edmonton Oilers. In the NHL, he played with the Edmonton Oilers, LA Kings, St. Louis Blues, and the New York Rangers. He played from 1978 to 1999. And I'm going to read as many of these career achievements that I can. So he holds 40 regular season records, according to the wiki, 890 most goals, 894 goals in 1,487 games. I'm just going to randomly read some of these. Most assists, 1,963. Most assists, including playoffs, 2,223. Most assists in one season, 163 in 1985, 86 in an 80-game schedule. Most points in 1,487 games, 894 goals, 1,963 assists. Most overtime assists in a career, 15. Most goals by a center, 894. Let's see what else we got. Longest consecutive point scoring streak from start of the season, 51 in 1983-84. 61 goals, 92 assists for 153 points, October 5th, 1983 to January 28th, 1984. Playoff records, most playoff goals, 122. Most playoff assists, is career 260. Most points in one playoff period, four, tied with nine other players. So that's not really that great of a... It's great, but I mean, because nine other guys had that shit. Most points in a final series, 13 in 1988. Three goals and 10 assists. All-star records. Jesus. Most all-star game goals in a career, 13 in 18 games played. Wow. So there you go. Wayne Gretzky. NHL legend for Sega Genesis. 1994. Yes, he is. Ooh, killed him with that falsetto. Do you guys remember NHL 94? Those of you that are old enough, how awesome was that game? I wasn't even a big hockey fan. Like, I probably said this before. Like, I just knew back in the day, it was Gretzky, of course, Mario Lemieux, Mark Messier, Jaromir Jagr, and Brett Hull. Like, I knew those guys because those were the big stars. And that was about it. But that game was so much fun. I love that game. And then they had it on Swingers like 4 years later. And it was so like that scene. That's a classic scene from a classic movie, a cult hit that brought us a young Jon Favreau and a young Vince Vaughn as they played actors who were trying to find their way in the city of Los Angeles. Swingers. All right, so there we go. That's possibly the last time I do that. I read these players' wikis, and we're moving to 100 soon. And it's really been fun for me to do this show. And for those of you that listen, and those of you that get something out of this, thank you guys. Thank you for listening, and I really appreciate it. And it warms my heart that the tens of you really enjoy this show. Some keep bringing it to you. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. I did. It was really chill. I think when you get older and you're not a kid anymore, like you just kind of, I just want to hang out with my family and eat and just chill, watch basketball and stuff like that. And if you don't have any kids, like, cause it's, I heard somebody say this the other day, Christmas is really, I think Jason Lawhead said it, who did his comeback show in Lorain, Ohio. I hope everybody that lives in Ohio, in that area watched that show, went to his show, supported the homie Jason Lawhead. But I think I remember him saying it on one of his most recent episodes of Lawhead's Court, saying that, you know, it's really a kid's holiday and you're there for them and you get the kids, the gifts and you see their smiling faces and people say it's a pagan holiday. It's fucking not real. It's consumerism and it's, you know what? That's true. It is. Fuck. It's true. It's some made up shit. But for some people it means something. It's a religious holiday. It's the day that Christ was born and all that good stuff. And God forbid it's another reason that you just kind of reflect and you make the efforts to see your family and to be around them, the people you want to be around. And by gum, as long as I got a mama and daddy living, I'm going to make the effort to go see them because I love them. And no, but it's, I think, If it takes something like that, take the gifts and all that bullshit out of it. But if you can like be around your loved ones, buy gum, do it, you know, make that an effort. So make an effort to do that. And I hope you did. Hope you had a good holiday. I drove down to Maryland on Christmas Eve and I'd have to say it was one of the worst drive. Some of the worst weather conditions that I've driven in. Is my English right on that? But you get it. It was raining a lot, and I just kind of stayed. It took a lot longer than it would normally take. Not even because of traffic, but just because I was trying to be cautious. And you have these idiots out there that are crazy. But overall, it was a smooth trip. Threw on some podcasts and listened to them. I might have to get into Serial on my drive back in a few days to see what all the fuss is about. But yeah, hope everybody had a great Christmas. I would say if you're friends with me on Facebook, I posted this article that I was mentioned in from the StatenIslandLive.com. So SILive.com. And the article is, "What's So Funny About Staten Island? A Look at the Massive Rise of the Borough's Comedy Superstars." And I got featured in this article, and it was so unexpected. It was one of my friends who was featured in there, like Facebook friends, posted it. And I said, "Oh, cool, Staten Island." I was just there. I was just there last week, and I had a good time. I was at the Flagship Brewery, and I believe that's the Tompkinsville neighborhood. I didn't know that last week. And I mentioned, I believe that I mentioned to you guys that I had a great time there. It reminded me of the movie Drinking Buddies. I had a good fucking time. And I raved over, and I even talked about it in the Dan St. Germain interview, the Dan St. Germain conversation, and just randomly mentioned that. But it's fun, and I'm prefacing what I'm about to read to you. So it's like, always talk about having a good time and doing the super secret show with Manny Rondon. I did a benefit over there last summer. And it was a lot of fun, and I always have a good time doing that, because it's kind of like it's a road trip, but then it's not, you know. You do have to cross the Verrazano Bridge. It's fucking like $13-14 now. So I do this show, and I'm reading this article. It's like, oh, cool, I know this guy. I know Tim Duffy. Yeah, that's really cool. He did a show at 120 Bay Cafe. Something like that. And so, you know, so, oh, it's cool. These guys that I know, they're getting some shine and all that shit. And then I go down to like the last portion of the article, of the piece. It says, the mini heading is titled "Jokes on Us." At a recent comedy night at Flagship Brewing Company, off-borough comedian Chris Lamberth looked out into the sparse audience in attendance at the show and geared up for a joke. A couple in the back of the brewery continued to chatter. And this is me being quoted. "Two of my cousins made it to the NFL. I'm performing stand-up for free in Staten Island," Lamberth said flatly. "For all its victories, it'll be hard to shake the perception many still have of Staten Island. You know, the dump, the reality television embarrassments, and so on. But that's something the comedians here are actively trying to change with their newfound influence," Casey said. I believe that's Casey Jost, brother of Colin Jost from Weekend Update on SNL. Here's the thing, folks. I don't know that they wanted to make it seem like I thought Staten Island was a shithole, and I never said that. I don't know if I've been on record on this podcast about saying how I don't get all the buzz. I don't get all the hate for Staten Island. I mean, I remember recently there was an episode on last season's Girls. And I quote Lena Dunham's series, Girls. Nah, but it was just a scene where they went to Staten Island. A couple of the characters went there. And, like, it was weird. They were just, people talk shit about Staten Island. And I just didn't get it. I mean, yeah, those cops killed Eric Garner. That's fucked. They killed that guy. And that happened. That happened actually not so far from where the brewery is. Like, bad shit happens anywhere. And it wasn't like I called the place a dump. It was just like, and I think I might have been setting up a joke. And I have recorded the set, and I'm not going to listen to it just to fact check it. I'll listen to it when I listen to it. But it was like, I was just setting up a joke. And it wasn't like, I'm in this fucking place. And I think sometimes I do, like, because it's a bit that I'm working on. And then I'm trying to evolve as an artist, and they just put it out there in the world, so I don't get... But once you say something, you know, like, once you say something, it's a joke, or you're on stage and you say something, it's really not yours anymore, and people interpret it how they want to interpret it. But I ended up having a fun set, and it is what it is. And actually, we did get paid, like, at the end of the show. They paid us, and it was a good fucking time. So I just, it just made it seem like I was an asshole. It's like they could have even put evil off-borough comedian. Like, I'm just such a fucking, like, a villain. Like, I came here with a twirly and twirled my mustache and said, I'm in this fucking shithole. Because if I didn't want to be there, I wouldn't have been there. I wouldn't have taken the gig. So, I don't know, Staten Island, it ain't all bad, man. It ain't all bad. And shout out to Tim Duffy and John Zaluga for putting on that fun show, and the good people at Flagship Brewery, you know? So shout out to them. And I remember one time when I was in high school, I was it was a summer before my senior year in high school, and I was in this acting troupe. It was called the Teen Performance Ensemble of Harmony Hall Regional Center out of Fort Washington, Maryland. Fort Wash, young. Fort Wash in PG County. And it was this really nice performing arts center that was funded by the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission. And we wrote original sketches. We were directed. We had a director, and we would rehearse and do all these different scenarios. And he would write us a script, and we would tweak it. It was like a mini traveling SNL, all that type thing with black kids and a couple white kids. I shouldn't have segregated it, like, but it was, fuck it. It was what it was, and we were the first. We were the trial group, and I think they may have done. I don't know how many they've done, but it was like 1997, and we were the first to do it, and it was really fun. So we would write these sketches, and we'd rehearse them, and then we tour it all around Southern Maryland, different day camps, and we do kid shows. And I did it for two summers, actually. I did it the summer before my senior year and the summer after my freshman year. And it was really fun, and we got to perform and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun, and I remember the first year that I did it. We did it at where did we do this? We did a show. God, I don't know where it was, but whenever we did it, there was a writer from the Washington Post, and we had this sketch where the girls. I think this sketch was called like Sleepover or something. And the girls dressed up like boys, and the boys dressed up like girls. And I didn't want to be in the sketch because I didn't want to dress up like a girl. And I specific because I know I'm not a freaking queer. I didn't do that, so I didn't want to do it. I was like, I ain't dressing up like no girl, young. I ain't doing it. And you know, the sketch ended up being, it was a funny sketch, and it was cool. And it was one that I was happy to not be in, and I was fine with it, and it was good. It was a really good show. And the Washington Post was there. And we knew they were going to, I think we knew they were going to be there, and then the article came out. First line, so this is me. I'm in the sketch. I'm not in the sketch of where I was going to dress up as a girl. First line in the whole article says, "You looked good as a girl," a five-year-old says to Christopher Lambert of Forestville, Maryland, from Bishop McNamara High School. What the fuck? I was not in that sketch. And like one of my first time being in the paper, in the Washington Post, nonetheless, it's not the fucking truth. It's like, I think they just randomly picked a dude's name and who was in the cast and just said, "You look good as a girl, you fucking drag queen." And my dad, I don't know, like, it's, you know, it. So after that, it's almost nobody can really, really screw with me. Yeah, I don't really, like, it's just like, all right, my name's in there. Whatever. The people, that's, whatever, man. I'm not bitter about it. I'm not fucking, you know, but, so yeah, that was a story. So I wasn't really upset about it, but it was kind of shitty. What's her name? What's the author's name? Lauren Stussy. Lauren Stussy. All right, whatever, Lauren. I mean, you get your likes up on Twitter, young. You know, do your thing, ma. I see you out there. You know what I'm saying? What is she? I remember her actually being there. She's kind of cute too. I remember her being there. All right. Anyway, Lauren, hello. You misquoted me, but you're cute. All right. You didn't misquote me. You took what I said out of context or whatever. So anyway, so it goes, man. There's some stuff to talk about. Where do I want to go with this? You know, I finished the second show at the Comedy Cabana last night, and I was hanging out at the bar having some ginger ale, mom. Okay. All right, mom. Jeez, get off my back. So I was having some ginger ale. I'm talking to the bartender, and the TV's on, and it's this show called Forensic Files. I think I may have heard of it in passing, but I had never seen the show before. It's the most depressing show ever. It makes me ashamed, and it makes me feel sorry for humanity. And at the same time, it's like, I will never kill anybody. Like, I don't want to kill anybody. I had, you know, you have like thoughts of killing somebody, but you don't, and because you're like, I'm a rational person. But it's like, I never want, because I don't want to get caught. Like, I feel like I would tell on myself in some kind of way, but it's basically this show where, I'll read the way it said. It's Forensic Files is an American documentary style series that reveals how forensic science is used to solve violent crimes, mysterious accidents, and even outbreaks of illness. And, it's just really depressing. There was this one story about this dude that ran a plastics company in Manhattan, and he had this house in somewhere in the suburbs, probably Westchester. I don't know. They didn't really say, but he had this plastics factory, and he moved out of the house, you know. And there were people different people that bought the home over the course of 34 years. So like 34 years is my whole life as of right now. And this guy moves down to Florida somewhere. And for some reason, there's a barrel, kind of like that Breaking Bad shit, what they put that little kid in. That little kid that the dude from Friday Night Lights shot, and put him in this barrel. So there's a barrel somewhere like in the basement, and all the owners over the course of 34 years never touched it, never knew what to make of it, and they pull it out, and they find, you know, I guess they call the cops or whatever. They find that there was a body in there. And they find out there was a body, not of a woman, and it was a fetus of an unborn child inside of this dead woman. And they did all this research, and they found, like, they couldn't find out who it was, but they found out, they went back and researched that the guy who was the plastics owner owned this house. And they find him out, and they find him in Florida. And they eventually, they know he's the killer. And so the police, the detectives come to his house. They're like, he's about 72 years old at the time. and he's just like, the cops say, hey, we're gonna get a warrant, we're gonna blah 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 blah, we're gonna arrest you for the murder of this unknown woman. And so he was like, okay, and we're gonna come back. And so then this motherfucker, this old dude, he goes to Walmart, buys a shotgun, and just offs himself in the back of a truck. Like, why are you off yourself in the back of a truck when somebody could use that shit? This is, you don't even, this is just, he's a selfish asshole. This motherfucker did it, and it was just like, geez. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. So they do some more research, and they try to find out who this unidentified woman is. And they look at the records, and they found out that she worked at the plastic shop, the plastics factory. And they were looking for, they were interviewing people, and they found that there was this woman who worked there or something. She happened to be a friend of this woman. And they interviewed her, and they found out that they finally ID'd this person who's been missing for 30 plus years. And they found out her identity, and come to find out, that woman said, you know, she was good friends with this lady, the murdered lady, and she found out that her friend, the dead girl, was having an affair with a man who she thought she was going to marry, and that she got pregnant. And she said, well, who's the father? She never asked who the father was, and because she's like, she never told me who it was. And then come to find out she's missing. And then they find out that this girl had the affair with the plastics owner, and he got her pregnant. And the girl, the dead woman, told the dude's wife and got him in trouble. And then he found out about it, and he lured her into the plastics factory and beat her to death and put her in one of these canisters, these barrels, and put her in one of those barrels. And he was going to try to dump it in the river because he had loaded it up so heavy and put all these like pellets in there, and he couldn't move it because it was like 350 pounds. So he stores it in that fucking house, and nobody for 30 years nobody knew about it. And they finally got his ass. And then there's more. This woman came from El Salvador because she left her husband, who had an affair with this other woman. And so she left because she just left that marriage. And then she ended up being involved in another love triangle, which got her killed. So it was just like so fucking, it was so sad, man. And it was just so like, oh my God, these despicable people. And it just made me so depressed. It was just really sad. And then HLN, the network that it's on, Headline News, right after that, they show a fucking commercial with baby meerkats in a little, stand, like, what is it, like a little pool playing with balls? No, you don't get to fucking do that. You don't get to show adorable animals like playing around after you just told me this story about these horrible people, like this horrible shit. It's just, oh my God, it's really depressing. And like, I want to be, and like, people watch this shit. People will watch this and enjoy it, and it's fine if you like it, but it just I don't think it's for me. I can watch a show like, I can watch shows that are scripted, but this reality shit, because you know the actor in that playing that role is an actor that probably has family, kids, or he was in a movie where he saves a puppy, or he was in a movie where he helps like African kids in the Sudan, or it's just some shit like that where it's just like, okay, you know, this isn't real. Take this stress off of me. And it's just pretend. It's just pretend. All right. All right, guys, that's it. You know, jeez. Yeah. So that was real. That kind of put a damper on the rest of the night, that Forensic Files. It's just like, it's cool that they do that. And I never want to be put in a situation where I couldn't live with myself if I did some shit like that. Speaking of affairs, I want to talk about a TV show called The Affair on Showtime. I just binge watched this show last week and I started to watch it. I think football was really, I watched football mostly all Sunday last week, and that Cowboy game, who they beat, they were beating the shit out of some game. It got out of hand and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch anymore. I just started watching The Affair and I knew the finale was that night. So I just watched like maybe three episodes and I started liking it. And I'll read you the synopsis about this here. Here we go on the wiki. The Affair explores the emotional effects of an extramarital relationship between Noah Soloway and Allison Lockhart after the two meet in the resort town of Montauk on Long Island. Noah is a New York City school teacher and Williams College alum who has had one novel published and is struggling to write a second book. He is happily married with four children, but resents his dependence on his wealthy father-in-law. Allison is a young waitress trying to piece her life and marriage back together in the wake of the death of her child. The story of The Affair is told separately, complete with distinct memory biases from Noah's and Allison's perspectives. So this show is really cool. That's all, and that's enough. That's all you need to know. And it stars Dominic West from The Wire. Who did he play? He played McNulty from The Wire, and Ruth Wilson, who played Alice on the series Luther. And, it's a good show. Like it's really good. It's a slow burn to it. Someone on Twitter hit me up and asked me what I thought about it. And I said, it's a good show. It's like, it's good acting. It's got a slow burn. And when you start to peel back that onion, the layers of that onion, it's like, oh shit, this is getting really serious. And it's good. I like the acting. I like the fact, you know, it's almost in a way like True Detective, because it's told from the different people's different perspectives, and they may or may not be reliable narrators. So, it's good and it's really interesting. The acting's good. I like it. It's a good show. You should check it out. It's on demand on Showtime. They did 10 episodes and they're coming back for another season. So it got renewed for, 10 episodes. That's going to come back next year. And it's really good. The homie, Joshua Jackson, AKA Pacey, from Dawson's Creek is in it, and he kills it. He's doing his thing in it. And, it's a really good show. I highly recommend it. And I think you guys, you know, I think you guys would like it. I honestly think you would. If you like my, recommendations, I think you'd be into it. A lot of sex in it. A lot of sex in it. It's good. What else do I want to talk about here? Let's talk about music. Let's talk about what's jerking my chain this week, is this cultural appropriation bullshit, that's with, Iggy Azalea. They're saying, oh, she's stealing our music and she's from Australia and she's talking like she's a Southern rapper, she's a trap rapper and all this shit. And I'm a little unnerved about it, because I don't give a shit. And they keep adding fire to the flames when they talk about her. And Iggy Azalea, I'm not a fan. Fancy's a fun record. I don't think she's a monster. I mean, she said some shit, like there's some tweets up or something where she said some shit about Popeyes and black people. And I'm like, fuck you for that. Because I didn't really know who she was about until about 4 or 5 months ago. Maybe because I'm old and out of touch. I don't know. But it's like, I remember, and I talked about this on the show a few months ago when I found out who she was. And she was on the BET Awards, and I'm in the back in the green room, and I'm like, oh, who's, I was like, Iggy, they're like, oh, that's Iggy Azalea. I'm like, ah, who cares? And then she turned around and could see her ass, and I was like, oh shit, she's okay. And it's just like, excuse me. I was like, she's hot, she's attractive, and that's what's gonna sell. It's pop, and people are gonna be about that. Now there's another girl, Azalea Banks, who kind of has the same name. They do have the same name. It's Iggy Azalea, Azalea Banks. Which one is which? And she's really upset about it. And she's calling T.I. a coon, and because he's her manager. Or he's backing her. And I think a lot of it's the racial thing. But I think more of it's jealousy. I think if Azalea Banks was more famous, she probably wouldn't be talking about it. And then I'm going to get to this other thing too, but it's like, just like, she's upset about that. And I get it. You have the same, but this cultural appropriation, like, that gets just, that's thrown around. And I guess because now social media is so like pervasive in the way people communicate and the way information is disseminated. And it's just sort of like, now I'm trying to be fucking clever. I'm like blanking, but this has been going on for years. They've been taking people's music, like Little Richard, like they took his music and made it white. And to make it safe for everybody. And then that's what's hot. And and it just keeps, it's a cycle. It keeps happening. Everything that black people do, people want to copy it. Like, that's been going, it didn't just start now. Somebody even said, like some comedian said, you know, if white people really, damn, what was it? And I might have said this shit on the show before. I'm going to get it, y'all. If they loved us so much, as much as they loved our culture, a lot of this racist bullshit and this killing and all this wouldn't be happening. Like, they want to be us, but they don't want to be us. And that's all it is. And as soon as you realize that, it seems like people are just starting to get starting to just be awakened by this. And it's like, they're so shocked. They're so shocked when police, you know, fucking kill black people. It's wrong and it's depressing. It's sad. I feel numb to it sometimes. I'm hurt by it and I kind of feel numb by it too. It's just this weird paradox of emotions that, you know, it's depressing and all that. I'm not a monster, but it's just people are like, oh my God, there's racism. Like, I have a bit about this. Oh my God, I can't believe this is, welcome to America. But we do what we do in spite of it all. We still I rise, and people that are protesting keep fighting and all that stuff. But you're coming down on Iggy Azalea, who's just making this bullshit music, and Q-Tip. Everybody's passing around the Q-Tip open letter schooling Iggy Azalea about hip hop and like the origins of it. And is Q-Tip right? Yeah, he's an OG. He's in my top five. But it's like, Q-Tip could have written that shit to most of the rappers that are hot right now, or who have been hot. Or who are quote unquote bringing the game down, you know, who are like, and they happen to be black, but it's like, you're taking shots at this chick because she's hot right now. Like, she's hot. So it's like, you're going to shoot. And I'm not, and it's really not defending this chick, but it's like, everybody's getting on their high horse about what rap should be, when for the last 10 years, most of it's been shit. Most of the stuff that's been popular has been bullshit. And now it's like, oh, now there's a problem. White people are stealing our shit. Get the fuck out of here. Everything we do, all the shit that we do, people try to copy it. And that's what, so this is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. And one thing Ninth Wonder said on Twitter, like, people are buying her albums. They're buying her stuff. They're going to see her in concert. So, I mean, if you want other people to be in the forefront, if you think Iggy Azalea, Azalea Banks should be hot, buy Azalea Banks' shit. Buy these other people's music. If you like this rapper, you buy his music. You buy her music. Like, and he said, when it comes down to buying, we not there for them. But these little 14-year-old girls that drive the whole entertainment industry, those are the people that buy the product. And so you can't just sit there and write these bullshit think pieces that with nothing behind them if you're not going to support the artist that you like. You know, it's not going to work. And so Ninth Wonder is right. Like, he's just like, look, when it comes time to buy, y'all ain't buying. So she's hot. I don't like her music, but I'm not going to hate on her for doing her thing. You can't hate on her because and anyway, for the people that's writing these think pieces, the music ain't for you. It's not. Hip hop is really, for the most part, a young person's game. A lot of people have said that. A lot of people that have more authority, that can speak with more authority and more insight than I can. But as somebody who loves the genre and who appreciates it, it really is. Because you're reaching young people. It's a device. It's a platform for young people to speak their truth. And either you're with it or you're not. But if you vote with your money. If you don't vote, you can't really complain. I don't know, man. It's annoying to hear that shit all the fucking time. The cultural appropriation. They're stealing. Who gives a shit? Rap. All these other rappers complaining. Rap dope, young. Rap dope. Just rap. If you're going to rap, rap dope and don't put out this bullshit. Like, they're like Waka Flocka had some song. I don't know. He had some song. I don't know too much about the dude, but I know like the homies, Three Guys On, had some post that had all these hits about how stupid or dumb he was or something. Basically, he's one of those guys that could fall under making quote unquote ignorant music. Now, I do not know the man's catalog, so I can't speak on what kind of music this guy makes. But I'm not this guy's biggest fan. But apparently he put out, and Ninth Wonder tweeted this. There's this song, some song that Waka Flocka was rapping his ass off. And it's like, and he was like, don't, you know, people, you say, don't get it twisted. These guys can rap. When they put their mind to it, when they feel motivated to rap, they gonna rap. And he rapped his ass off, and it's a good record. So, I mean, you gotta realize what these people are in the game for. Are they in it to really move people or uplift? That's really not the entertainer's job. Like, the job, I want to uplift people. But are you in it to make, are you in it to really push the genre forward, push the art form forward? Or are you in it to make money? And a lot of people are. It's like, oh, I got to get that ringtone money. That's what some people are about. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. Like, why do I care what Iggy Azalea is doing when Kendrick Lamar? I have a catalog of Kendrick Lamar songs that are fucking awesome. When I have Lil Brother, when I have like J. Cole, that just dropped the album, which is his best work. I'll get into that. Fashion, up and coming guy that's like on the rise, signed to Nas's new label, really talented dude. The Sky Zoo, Action Bronson, just guys that can fucking rap, you know, like Childish Gambino, people, tons. There are so many people. There are so many really, really good people. And that's my opinion. And you can form your own opinion, but there's so many people that are good, that are very good, that you could be listening to. And you don't have to be worried about what Iggy Azalea's doing and what these bullshit awards mean, because that's not going to determine what I listen to. Like, I'm not going to. But sometimes you do find out about people that are really good from these lists, these best of lists. You know, like my bae, St. Vincent, got nominated for a Grammy. She's on all these end of the year lists. I didn't need an NPR list or Spin magazine to tell me she was dope. She's dope to me, so I'm checking for her regardless of what those magazines say. But it does put you on to stuff. All right, I'm not gonna be a total pretentious asshole about it. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean. So there's good stuff out there, man. You just can't be. Just don't be lazy. Don't be lazy about it. There's tons of great stuff out there. So that's all I'll say about that. And just speaking of good music, speaking of good stuff, J. Cole, I finally listened to his album 2014 Forest Hills Drive. He named this after one of the house that he lived in when he was a kid. And he actually bought the house that he went back and bought the house. His childhood home, and that's what the album's about. And he really did it with no real press or no singles. And I was talking to the homie, emailing back and forth with the homie Damian Lemon, who's talking about music, and it's his best. I think it's his best work. I'm not the biggest J. Cole fan. I think he can rap his ass off, and I think he's fine. Like, I just you know, he's a North Carolina guy, so I got love for that. And I want to see the dude do well. And he's good. Like, he's a good-ass rapper. He just, like, I know him for when he first really came. Man, this had to be, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago or something, where he came out and he was doing guest verses on people's songs and just, like, blowing people out of the fucking water. There's this song. Oh, my goodness. It's a song with, I think it's a Reflection Eternal song, and it's with Jay Electronica, Talib Kweli, Mos Def, J. Cole, and I know the, hold on, hold on a second, I'm going to find this song, so hold on. The song's called Just Begun with Talib Kweli, High Tech, and it came out a couple years back, and it's a fucking monster of a song. It's the last Reflection Eternal song album that they came out with. And let me find out the name of the album. And of course, the computer's going slow as I'm trying to get this song. But it's a really good song. It's like Talib Kweli starts it off, and then you have J. Cole, who just, it's 2010, Revolutions Per Minute is the album that it's on. And that's crazy that it was 5 years ago. And it's just one of those songs. It's just a really good song. But anyway, and J. Cole gets on there, and he just fucking like, he has one of the best and like Talib Kweli, I remember him saying this in an interview or something, where he's like, it's like, yeah, like, these young guys just like are fucking killing it on the song. He's like, I had to have Mos Def close it out. And Mos Def, you know, also in my top five, just like closes it out strong. But it's like J. Cole, like, you could tell this motherfucker is like hungry as shit. Like, and he just comes on the track and just murders it. And he did that on Wale's album. Baby, no, 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 no. What's that song? Beautiful Bliss. And he comes on and just like fucking like goes hard. So I like J. Cole. I'm just not super familiar with his catalog, but I think he's super good. And this is the best. I think he's fucking super good. But he's a terrific MC. And this album is like, it's his best work. And you could tell that he listened to Kendrick Lamar's Control verse. And he wasn't like, well, fuck you, Kendrick. It was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, we should probably be, you know, I should probably step my game up. And not that he was whack before, but it's just like, yeah, he took, I'm just gonna pontificate. I'm just gonna say that I think that he listened to that Kendrick Lamar verse. Like, if I was a rapper and I listened to Kendrick Lamar's verse, I'd be like, oh, I need to step my game up. It's like when you see a comic have a great set and you're just like, oh, that was really good. I need to write more. I need to fucking step my game up. That's what it is. And he put out a really good album. It was like technically sound and tight. So, yeah, I recommend 2014 Forest Hills Drive. Good album. What else did I have for you guys? Oh, Fashion. I don't know if I talked about Fashion at all, like really waxed poetically on his stuff. He's a guy out of, I want to say he's out of Fresno. I first heard about him in 2008 or 2009. Yeah, he is from Fresno, and he's really young too. So he had this album called Boy Meets World, and it came out, I want to say it came out in 2000. Yeah, it came out in 2009. And this album was produced by Exile, who's entirely by Exile, who gave us Below the Heavens with Blue. And Blue's album Below the Heavens is just this, and I've talked about Blue so much, but just for newer listeners, or for just check out Blue and Exile's Below the Heavens, terrific album, one of the best debut albums ever, for a rapper ever. I'm going on record and saying that it's not as cultural, obviously not as culturally significant as Illmatic, but it's just on a, like, Illmatic's on another fucking level. It's whatever, you know, that goes without saying. But just in recent memory, just, and I'm not talking about records, they're just really strong. And I don't know, like, I was talking to this rapper, I think I mentioned him before, JB out of Oklahoma, and we were talking about music and stuff. Just like, I don't know why guys don't work with one producer, like for a whole project. And there just seems to be more cohesion, more of a stronger project when that happens. Not just, and it's not to say that you can't piece together an album when you're working with the different producers and all that stuff. I mean, like Kendrick Lamar, like a lot of that stuff is in-house. So that's in-house. And then he's the overseer of what he's doing. Anyway, I'm blabbing too much, but Fashion, man, he came out with this album, Boy Meets World. Exile produced it. Damn near, shit, probably, damn near flawless, I want to say. Let me look at the track list just to see, because he came out with this album, like, he had to be 21. He's 26 now. So he's like 21 when this album came out. And just looking at this track list, like, it's fucking good. Like, he had a record with Aloe Black before people started hating him. I don't know why people hate Aloe Black now. I guess because he's everywhere and he's in all these commercials and shit. He's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with him. Like, he's good. Whatever. I don't know what people hate him now. But just looking at this track list and then the bonus tracks, there's three bonus tracks on here. and it's like, those are fucking good too. This album is it's a classic. And every time I listen to it, it's like, why isn't this shit a fucking, why aren't more people talking? And I guess they are, but I don't know. This album is a very, 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 very good album. It, Boy Meets World, like, I bought this shit. And I had, you know, like, this is, it's really good. So he's done a few mixtapes and stuff, and he's actually got one out now called Fashionably Late with The Alchemist. And it's his second project that he did with The Alchemist, The Antidote, which was in 2009. That was good too. But this album, man, like, it's really fucking good. It, you know, it's, if you've never heard of this dude and you like rap music, if you like hip, if you love hip hop, it's just a very strong debut. And like this year, that year, you had Fashion and you had, Sky Zoo, who came out with the, was it The Salvation? What was Sky Zoo's album called? I think it was. I guess that year's kind of, that year sticks out to me because that's the year that I started doing stand up for the first time and really gave a go at it. And, I just want to make sure I got this album. Sky Zoo's album, also very good. That was a year, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, there's so many, like, really fucking talented MCs that it's like, why are you wasting your time with this? With this bullshit, you know? I was right. The Salvation. Really good, man. Just some really good. This guy Zoo, like, he had like 16 tracks. He's got some. Yeah, man. I don't get it. That's what I'm talking about, guys. Like, there's so many people that are dope out there that why waste your time worried about some cultural appropriation shit when you actually got people that's giving you culture, that's giving you the shit that you need to hear, the shit that's like really good. I don't freaking get it, guys. I've blabbed enough. I got a few more shows out here. So I'm hoping that I can give you this podcast like right after I record this, right after I cut this thing off. I'm going to be here until New Year's Eve. Got two shows that night, and then I'll be going back to Maryland. Possibly some shows there. I don't know, but I'll be back in the city doing stuff, and I'll be around. I'll be somewhere in Westminster on the 24th. I don't know if that's a private show or not, but I'm going to be around, guys. I'm going to be delivering this stand up thing, and I'm got some new jokes coming and working, having fun. So you guys have a great New Year's. Be safe. Be kind to each other. This is yet another holiday where white people get really scary and they're crazy and they're just party. So this would be, you know, if I wasn't doing a show and if I was back home or something, I would probably be inside. I would probably be inside because I'd be scared. But, you know, hey, you live your own life and you do what you need to do. It's been great. It's been a great 2014, talking to you guys. And how about we let 2015 be your year? Let's let 2015 be all of our years. And I'll be back with you next time with episode 100. So thanks everybody for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.